Oh, I have. I know I felt that way many times this week. We all feel like quitting at times. We all feel like going back to what we are comfortable with. We all feel like going back to what we used to do and what we felt control over. And Peter in the Bible was no different than that. And we're going to talk about this story in John, the 21st chapter. We're going to talk about Peter and Jesus appearing to the disciples. We're going to kind of delve into that story a little bit this week and talk about how Peter was ready to quit. And he wanted to go back to what he knew, which was fishing. You know, in the scriptures, it talks about, and it's funny, it's interesting to me how that, you know, Easter time, we get really charged up and cranked up for Easter, you know, and Christmas, that kind of stuff. And we celebrate Easter, and we should, and that, I understand that. But, you know, we forget about after Jesus resurrected from the dead, and he appeared to over 500 people over a period of 40 days. And I think he appeared like, I think the Bible says about like 10 times. I'm not sure about that number, but several times he appeared to the disciples. So we're going to talk about one of those times where Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was resurrected from the dead to help them understand who he was and what he wanted them to do. So, oh man, I tell you what, I've wanted to quit so many times, it's not even funny. Sometimes we get a little disheartened. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we even get a little depressed. We get disgusted. If you listen to the news much at all, it's easy to get disgusted with lots of stuff, right? I'm not even going to get into all that, but and we can become very disillusioned. And I think that's where Peter was after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He appeared to the disciples several times. And Peter made this incredible statement. He says, I'm going fishing. Or we could say, and really the Greek brings it across, maybe in, at least it implies this, that Peter is just not saying, I'm just going to go fishing. I think he was maybe saying, there was a little bit more implied there, that he was, I'm going to go fishing. I'm gone. I'm going to go back to fishing, which is a little different than just going and throwing a line in the water and, you know, just for a little relaxation. I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to what I'm good at. I'm going back to what I can control. Only problem is, once you meet Jesus Christ, there's no turning back. And Jesus is the answer, and Jesus is the way. And Jesus is the salvation that we look for in other things. Amen. So anyway, let's just look at this, and we're going to go old school today. This is a Bible. It's in print, and you know, like pages, the pages are real thin, and it's kind of, you should just feel that. It's just like, ooh, that's paper. And it's like thin paper. It's like it's nice, and there's words on the paper. It's awesome. And check this out. No iPad. It's not that I can't use an iPad. I just... old school, baby. Okay, so we're going old school. The Bible reference today is John, the 21st chapter. We're not probably going to go anywhere else but right there. John, the 21st chapter. And we see this story unfolding. Now, I want you to first of all look at John, the 20th chapter. I said we weren't going to go anywhere else, but I just want to look at one verse where Jesus appears to the disciples, and it's that famous portion of Scripture where Thomas says, I'm not going to believe this until I put my hands in his hands and my hands in his feet and feel the nail holes, and Jesus rebukes the disciples for their unbelief. But involved with that chapter 20, in verse 21, Jesus says to them, everybody say, Jesus says to them. He says to them again. So he's been saying this. This is predominant in Jesus' speaking and relationship with the disciples. All the disciples. It's predominant. It's something that's being said again and again and again. He's saying to them, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Very important. Jesus calls the disciples way back at the beginning of his ministry, and he says, Peter, follow me. John, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Now we go to the 21st chapter, and after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael, Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. So John was there, Peter was there. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing, or I'm going to go back to fishing. I'm going to go a fishing. And they said to him, we are going to go with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Professional fishermen go out in the prime time to catch fish they knew were there. They knew where the fish were, and they caught nothing. And what are we doing? Where's the rest of that operation there? Has she got the lid there? You don't see the. Didn't bring me any Cheerios or anything like that? Crying out loud. Okay. She just wanted to be on camera, that's all. She's a little princess. 20 minutes. Okay, here we go. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood at the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any food? And they said to him, no. And he said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Now, that's interesting because Jesus, who's not a fisherman, tells them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. The right side of the boat, okay? So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's interesting, I love how John talks about himself in the scriptures, you know. Yes, the disciple whom Jesus really loved. That's me, John. said to Peter, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put took off his outer garment, and he removed it and plunged into the sea. And the other disciples came with the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, and dragging the net with the fish. So Peter abandoned ship, left them to the fish. And as soon as they came to land, they saw a fire on the coals there, and the fish laid on it, and the bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. And Simon went up and dragged the net to the land, and full of large fish, 150. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. And there's so many things we can say about these scriptures. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. And yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, when they had eaten, breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, I know that you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this, and I want to point out some things that I've seen in this portion of Scripture, and I hopefully will help you see some things also. Peter is saying to the disciples, "I'm going to go back to fishing." Now, why did Peter say that? You have any idea? Think about this for a second. How did Peter feel? Why does Peter think this way? Why is Peter wanting to quit? Why is Peter wanting to go back to what he knew before he met Jesus Christ? We almost had a unanimous thing where we agreed that we all have felt like quitting at times, right? Why? Why was Peter feeling that way? What? He was feeling discouraged. Why was he feeling discouraged? So let's look at this for a second. First of all, Peter thought that Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom. All the disciples did, really. I mean, it was common for the disciples. They had an agenda for Jesus, didn't they? Their agenda for Jesus was to set up an earthly kingdom, and part of that agenda was that they would rule and reign with him in this earthly kingdom, right? When that didn't work out and Jesus died, even when he was resurrected from the dead, they still didn't get the kingdom. They didn't understand what the kingdom was going to look like. And they didn't understand their place in that kingdom, what they would do in that kingdom. And so it was easy for them to become discouraged and disheartened disgusted and disillusioned by the whole thing. And when we get that way, when we feel that way, rarely do we delve into our thought processes of why we are thinking that way. We just go back to what we know, what we think we can control. I don't know if you've lived enough life now. Some of you younger people, some of you young bucks and stuff, you think you can control everything. You'll figure it out eventually. It's just, you know, there's no sense in me wasting my words on you right now because you think you can control things. You've got it together. You are the king of your universe. And, you know, but one day you'll figure out there's very little in life that we can control. Amen. So they thought that Christ was, you know, they had an agenda for Jesus. And I meet people all the time, and myself included. There have been times that I've wanted to quit. There's been times I've been disillusioned. There's been times I've been depressed. There's been times that those things are going on. And it's always because I have set up an agenda for the Lord Jesus Christ and my part in that kingdom, right? Instead of finding out who Jesus Christ is and what he wants me to do in that kingdom. And there's a big difference in that, right? So let's keep going because I got some really good things to say. So if you didn't think I've said anything good yet, there's still hope. So here's another reason why Peter became disillusioned and he said, "I'm going to go back to fishing." He denied Jesus three times. And that's after he had this incredible revelation and this incredible enlightenment where he says, Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter makes this incredible statement. He gets it. He gets it from the Spirit of God, and he says, "You are the Messiah. You're the man. You're the Messiah." And that's when Jesus says, "Peter, this is a revelation from God, and upon this rock of revelation, I'm going to build my church. And you're a little stone, you're a little pebble in this rock of revelation, Peter, and I'm going to build my church on this revelation and on you, Peter." He says, "I'm making you a leader in the kingdom of God." But he still had his own agenda, still had his own thought process about what Jesus would do. And when push came to shove and persecution and darkness came in, guess what Peter did? He fell back into what? The past, the darkness. And he denied Christ 3 times. Even after Jesus told him, "Listen, you better not be so cocky, Peter." You know, can you say that on tape? I don't know. Anyway, you better not be so boastful and so proud and so, you know, because, you know, you can deny me. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. You're going to deny me 3 times before it's over with. So he was living with the shame of denying Christ 3 times. And shame always causes us to gravitate toward going back to fishing, going back to something we know, going back to something we think we can control, going back to something called shame and darkness and independence and isolation and self-dependence. Are you out there? Is this too harsh? You okay? You okay? I'm just trying to get somebody to throw me a bone. I'll just keep preaching like crazy here. Okay. So he went back to what he knew, what he thought he knew, what he thought. And how many times do we go back to, and it doesn't necessarily have to be we go back to sin, right? Something that's familiar to us. Something where, you know, we comfort ourselves in lots of different ways. It may be a sin, it may be inappropriate, or it could be just something that's not really that inappropriate and not really anything that's called a sin. Going fishing is not a sin, but going back to fishing when Jesus has called you to be a light in the world of darkness that we live in, well, that would be a problem. And that's exactly what was going on with Peter. And that's exactly what happens to us too. Isn't that right? We go back to what we know. We go back, even if it's messed up, we still go back to what we know. So that's what was going on in this story. Now, interesting, look at how Jesus deals with this situation. He deals with it in love and serving and generosity and grace and wisdom. Children, do you have anything to eat? Maybe you rubbed it in a little bit. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, you go out fishing all night long, professional fishermen. I mean, if I hired a professional fisherman, you know, to take me out all night fishing, yeah, like, wouldn't I? I mean, even just like a little bluegill or something. I mean, just, you know, like a little perch or crappie or, you know, like a, like, something, bullhead, yeah, bullhead, carp, but nothing. I'd be wanting my money back. I'd be questioning the professionalism of my guide. I mean, there's no guarantee, but really? Children, do you have anything to eat? And he says, cast your net on the other side. And that's what we need to remember as Christians. Jesus has called us to a life of being his children, of being God's children, of being people of light, being people of love and grace. And so if we got our net on the wrong side, we're going to have problems. But if we just open up our hearts to let Jesus speak to us, I don't know if that was a church mouse or the Holy Spirit. I don't know, whatever. He'll tell us where to cast our net. And I think it's interesting also that Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, resurrected from the dead, victorious over death and on the grave, right? All those things. As incredible as Jesus is, as incredible as what he has accomplished through his love and giving his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, he prepares a meal for us in the midst of our confusion and our shame. I think that's just awesome. He's the provider. He's a servant leader. I mean, he loves us, and he will bow himself down to help us accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. And he'll bow down to help us experience his love and his grace. It's a good thing. Peter says, so now I'm just going through these scriptures real quick. And so, because in the King James or in the English version of this story in verse 15, after Jesus has broken the bread and they've eaten, he says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And the word that's used in the Greek is, "Do you agape me? Do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally?" And Peter responds to him, "Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that you're my friend. You know you're my buddy." Interesting. Jesus is trying to get his love perfected. He's trying to help Peter understand that he can walk in a realm in the kingdom where he's not depending on himself, on his old things, Peter's old stuff, but on the grace of God and the love of God that never fails. It's a big deal. This conversation is a huge deal. And he says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I'm your friend." And Jesus says to him, "Teach my lambs." And then he says to him again, the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? Do you?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I'm your friend. I phileo you. I have affection for you. I like you." And Jesus says to him, "Tend my sheep," or "shepherd my sheep." A different word. Teach my lambs, shepherd my sheep. So there's a development here of this conversation. There's a development of deepness in this conversation. There's a development of commitment and sacrifice and dedication that Jesus wants Peter to get a hold of in this conversation. And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you even really love me? Do you even really phileo me? Are you really even my friend?" And that really hurt Peter. That cut him to the quick. And Peter says, "Lord, he says to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I am your friend." And Jesus said to him, "Teach my sheep." Interesting conversation. Then later on in the chapter, and we're out of time, I'll just finish this up. Later on in this chapter, and read it for yourself when you get home, we see that Jesus is talking to Peter, and Peter immediately goes from this deepness that Jesus wants him to grasp a hold of, the deepness of walking in this agape, unconditional, sacrificial, committed love. And he says, "What about this guy? What about John? What about him? What about him?" You see, we're always going to be in trouble if we compare what God is doing in us to someone else. We're always going to be in trouble. We're always going to fail. We're always going to fall back when we compare our gifting to somebody else's gifting. when we compare our marriage with somebody else's marriage, when we compare our Christian walk with somebody else's Christian walk, when we compare our part of the body that we're called to do with somebody else's part of the body that they're called to do. When that happens, we always get into a danger of rivalry, and when we start walking not in love, but in competition. Jesus, he wants to get us, I just think this is an incredible portion of Scripture, and you know, this third time that he reappeared to the disciples, he was really trying to get across to them the importance of what he wanted them to do and what he wants all of us to do. He wants us to, I mean, we love God. It's the picture of the cross. We've done that a zillion times. You know, it's a picture of the cross, that vertical relationship. We love God. You know, he loves us. He loves us with an unconditional love. We begin to love him back with like a phileo love, with a selfish kind of love that, you know, I my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you'll give me kind of thing. You know, I mean, I want, you know, and when we're young, new Christian, baby Christians, you know, he does answer a lot of these really, really what we would probably consider selfish prayers, right? I mean, it just happens. It's pretty cool. But there's a place in the goodness of God and the power of God and in the fulfilled life that a Christian needs to have in God. There's a place in God's heart where we not only, we're receiving his unconditional love, but now we begin to love him back with that agape love, with that unconditional love. It becomes a prayer like Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. That becomes our prayer. It becomes our prayer. It becomes not just Jesus' prayer, but it becomes our prayer. Lord, you are the master, the creator, the king of kings, our father. You are God. You sent Jesus to die for me. Therefore, you have my allegiance. You have my agape. I will receive this agape that you have for me, this healing agape that you have for me, and I will begin to love you back with this sacrificial, serving, committed love, and I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes to fulfill your plans and your purposes in my life. Agape. And then that agape, that horizontal thing of the cross, we begin to love others with that unconditional love that we are experiencing ourselves. And Peter got it. He got it. He got it because later he goes, he listens to God, he listens to the angels, he listens to Jesus, he goes to the upper room. They begin to meet together as a body of believers, and the power of the Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And Peter, we find Peter submitted, committed, sacrificially leading and preaching the first sermon in the New Testament church. We see Peter not running back to old things, but serving God with his whole heart and serving the sheep and the lambs with the love that he's now experiencing from Jesus himself. That's a good thing. That's a good plan. That's a good way. If you've ever thought that you can't do that, well, then you are correct. But if you've ever thought that you can't do that, then you're wrong. It's only in him that we can do that. It's only in him that we can do anything worthwhile for the kingdom of God. We have to rely totally upon his love, experiencing his love, and learn how to give that love away. But there is a sacrifice involved. But the sacrifice that we give will be rewarded abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. being a Christian, a true Christian, submitted and committed to God Himself, is the best way not only to heaven, but the best way to having a little bit of heaven here on this earth. So who do you love? And what do you love? Peter, do you love me more than these? More than your buds? Do you love me? And he asked us that question. Tenderly, gently, lovingly, he asked that question. He'll never stop asking that question. Like that song we played today, that new song. He chases yeah, that love of God, that love of the Father. He'll chase us down. He's never going to give up. He's never going to give up. And so, who do you love? And what do you love? Good question, I think. A good question. You're awful quiet today. Is it because you're thinking? That's good then. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Let's stand and we're gonna pray. We're gonna dismiss in prayer. We're gonna have our prayer people come up at this time. And if you'd like to talk to somebody about God, about your life, about relationships in your life, about just whatever's going on in your life that you just need somebody to pray with you, maybe somebody to talk with you, maybe you just need a hug, whatever it is, you know, that we're here to not judge you, but to help you however we can, and ask God to help you. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Father, we pray that you help us to know you the way you want us to know you, to love you, but to love you with that love that you have for us. Lord, we pray that you would direct us and lead us and help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Forgive us for going back to fishing, going back to old things, back to old ways, going back to old comfort mechanisms. Father, forgive us. Wash us with the precious blood of Jesus. Cleanse us. Help us to know you and the power of your resurrection. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, if you want to talk to somebody, you want to pray with somebody, that's what these folks are up here for. So please make yourself available to the good stuff that's going on.